Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, open our eyes to God's truth, strengthen us to do God's will, and give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Elaine is going to come with our reading this morning.
The reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to watch a video now. Very good, very good. We're going to watch a video. We're doing something called Frontline Sundays. You're going to find out all about what that means. But to introduce something for today, which hopefully will bear some similarities with the experiment I was doing earlier, have a watch of this. Thanks, Sarah.
Over a month, around 6% of the UK gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference.
But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us, scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make all the difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.
I love the line in there, all the difference in the world. What I'm going to do now, because what we're going to be talking about is going out and sharing our faith. Well, that's part of it. Then I want to just together affirm what it is that our faith is. Is that all right? We do that now before we do the talk. It's our custom to stand while we do this. So if you're able, would you stand while we do this? Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. Please take a seat. Another line, it's great, just leave that on the screen, Sarah. This we have received. Hold on to that as well, because that is so important. We have received this. I don't believe anyone here is old enough to have been there as Jesus was walking around in Palestine, unless anybody wants to correct me on that. No? Nobody was there. It's all been received. It's been passed to us. And we're talking about the responsibility that Jesus gives us. Thanks, Sarah. There are a few slides that Sarah may have in front of her that will appear. Here we go. All the difference in the world, because I love that as a starting point. I'll try and give you clues as to when to put them up. But if you feel that you should have moved on, then feel free, because you probably know better than me. And I need to say well done to Elaine for getting all those names of all those different places right. When I did it at 8 o'clock this morning, I got to the first one and went, I've forgotten. Needed to put my teeth back in again. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you about the people that you know who know you come to church, but they themselves are not Christians. Okay? You know who I mean? Why do they think that you come to church? Might not be easy to answer. Any ideas? Why do you think they think that you come to church? Community? Yeah?
Tradition?
Tradition?
I'm the vicar.
You're the vicar? Yeah? Yeah, so a job? Yeah? Yeah, that's not one I'd written down. Yeah? Yeah, both great answers. Where your friends are, where your community, your support network is. Some people look on faith as a crutch. Have you ever heard that? That you actually need something to help hold you up. You're religious, that's what you do. It's your job, whatever it might be. Different reasons. And all of those, whilst they might be true in some part, I'll test that one. Has anyone got any friends here? Yes. Oh, good. Good. There are people with friends. Does anybody find support from this community? Yes. Do you come because it's just what you do on a Sunday? It might be. I've been doing it all my life on a Sunday. It's become part of habit. And whether that's a Sunday or whether that's some other time, meeting together with other Christians. So there might be a grain of truth in all of them. But that's not core to why the church meets. And that's certainly not what Peter wanted to help his readers understand about church. In his first sentence, that whole reading was one sentence. Yeah, he's almost as good as me for using commas and apostrophes and hyphens and everything else to try and build a long sentence. That was all one sentence, and he puts in two key words and some amazing truth into that passage. So I'm just going to call those out. The first bit where he says, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces. Elite. I can't see. He calls his readers God's elect. God's elect. Go back to the start of the Bible. What happens in Genesis 12? Genesis 12 is when God speaks to Abram and says, I'm choosing you and all your descendants, and you are going to be my people, and I am going to be your God. It starts in Genesis 12, and it develops through the whole of the Old Testament. God chose Abram. Abram was God's elect, the elected one. And the only way to become part of that club was to be born into that club. You had to be a descendant of Abram. That was it. But in the New Testament, as we often talk about, Jesus changes all that and says, actually, everybody is part of my family. Everybody now has the opportunity to be a part of my family. And in Peter's words, he's using words of calling. He's using words that say, you are elect of God. Peter was not writing to Jews. Peter was writing to a whole group of people who were not Jews. So Peter's using that language that says you are part of God's elect. He has chosen you and you have chosen to choose him. And that's got quite an important message behind it, because that's saying it doesn't matter how you came to faith to be a part of God's family. In the Old Testament, you had to be born into it. There was no other way. Now, the way is open for anyone by whatever means to come to faith in our Lord Jesus. I guess the point at which we became a red dot. Now, this is definitely the first red dots picture, Sarah. In the UK, they reckon around 6% of people worship in a Christian church once a month or more. I guess I was surprised it's as high as that. I look around here, we reckon, about 0.5% of this parish that come here to worship regularly on a Sunday. Around 0.5%. Now, there are other Christian churches in the area, and I know there are people that go to those, but 6% still seems like quite a way from 0.5%. If you live outside our parish, then you're kind of one of those people that goes somewhere else. So maybe 1%, 1.5% of people in our parish, but it's a small number. It's a little corner in a square. And we gather together as believers to remind ourselves, one of the things we do is remind ourselves that we all believe one particular story. I asked us all to say one of the creeds, one of the affirmations of faith a few minutes ago. The story we believe about the world, here it is in 4 points. God created it. It's broken because of sin. Jesus' death makes new life possible. And Jesus is coming back. I'm hoping, I can see many people nodding. I'm hoping that you can agree with those. As Christians, God created the world. It's broken because of sin. Jesus came to fix it. And he's coming back again. We live in this world as people believing that story, as possibly as many as 6% of people believing that story, with 94% of people don't believe that story. And we live in that place. We are red dots, and we gather together to encourage and strengthen one another because we are God's elect. He chose us, and we chose him. Is that great? Yeah, and we strengthen and encourage one another. Second word Peter uses, exiles. You're God's elect and you are exiles. This is, exile is another very significant portion of Israel's history. I don't know how much you know about it, but the people of Israel had a time where they lived all together in Israel, the 12 tribes, all there. And then the Babylonians came and conquered them and took them all away. And they went into exile. They were taken away from their land. They hoped to go back quickly, but most of that first generation would never, ever have a hope of returning. The prophets told them that they were to settle, they were to be a part of the land that they were in, to be a blessing where they were, even though they were in exile, taken away from the temple, taken away from their lands. But the prophets said to them, be a blessing to this land, because if you're a blessing to this land, God will bless you, and you will be a blessing to everybody, and people will see God through you. Be distinct, wherever you are. Today, most of us are scattered for most of the week. I certainly am. I don't spend most of my working week with Christians. Well, there are other Christians in the office, but the majority of people where I work are not Christians. And I spend my time there. And I spend more time there than probably anywhere else. Some of us, we may be the only disciple of Jesus in, maybe even in our family, in our home, in our work, in the fitness club we go to, in the group of people we go with to play golf. Whatever it might be, whatever club we might be part of, whatever we might do, we might be the only disciple of Jesus. And these are the places where we are called to shine. That's it. We're scattered amongst the 94%. And in those places, one of two things could happen. We could blend in. We could become grey. Or we could affect the area around us. That's what I like in this little picture. But here, you've got the strong red dots, but around them, there is influence of God's kingdom breaking through from our lives into other people's lives, of what we believe, of the story we believe, starting to impact and affect other people. Those are what this series we're doing is talking about when we're talking about front lines. What are the front lines? What are the places where we go and we have influence purely because we love Jesus? Our front lines are the everyday places. The places where we live, the places we work, the places we study, the places we play, the places we simply meet other people who aren't Christians. And they are scattered. They are scattered all over the place. The other thing Peter does in that reading we had is remind his readers of the amazing work that the Trinity does in our lives. Three things. He talks about, let me pull it up. You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Foreknowledge, because our situations are known by God. The sanctifying work of the Spirit. The Spirit sets us apart and is a part of everything that we do. Sprinkled with his blood. Obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. What does that mean? Sprinkled with his blood. If you go into the Old Testament and look at what they were doing around sacrifice and around the temple worship, sprinkling with blood included the items being sprinkled in what was going on. Jesus sacrificed himself for us. He became the one who could save us. And the imagery of sprinkled by his blood says you are included in the covenant. You are included in the promise of forgiveness. Jesus saved you. So we have the Trinity of the Father, the foreknowledge of God the Father, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the bit that seals us and continues making us good, continues redeeming us, and sprinkled with Jesus' blood because we are included in what Jesus did. All in the context of being obedient to Jesus, aligning ourselves with what his purposes are for this world. Peter rejoices in those words with his readers and sums it up in grace and peace be yours in abundance, because our God is amazing through all of this. So much that he's packed into just his greeting. Peter reminds them and reminds us that we live out the implications of this gospel, this amazing news, this news of what Jesus has done in the scattered places where we are, because we are the elect of God and we are exiles scattered in this world. We make all the difference in the world. We're going to explore more of that over the next few weeks, to explore the implications of whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We are on his front lines, and he shares our front lines with us and strengthens us and goes with us. We'll think about how when we gather together like this, we can strengthen each other in order to scatter into this world and be amazing for God. Encourage each other in what we do. As God's elect, we can literally make world-changing difference to the people that we meet. Don't know if you can think back to a time when you didn't know God. Depends what your journey to faith has been. And think about what a difference it makes to know him. In some ways, I sometimes wonder if I envy people who came to faith not knowing anything. I grew up in a church. I kind of grew into faith. So I never really had that moment where I suddenly found out that something amazing had been done, and I knew nothing about it. I did come to a realization that something amazing had been done, and it was absolutely amazing, but I never really had that joy of exploring all of it because I'd kind of grown up being taught it. But it makes all the difference in the world. That's what you can do. That's what I can do. One of the things I'm hoping will become a little bit of a feature at this church is something that used to happen at a church I used to go to, which is sharing of testimony. Every single week, there would be a time when people would share what God had been doing in their lives or in people that they knew, things that they wanted to share with the congregation to encourage and strengthen everybody. And I really used to find a lot of, so much in that, to see what God had been doing. Because sometimes life's not easy, is it? Sometimes life's hard. And sometimes we need somebody to say, do you know what? This is an amazing thing God's been doing. And it just builds us up and encourages us. So I'm springing it on you this week because you've not been warned about this, but if there's anything anybody wants to share, someone already came to me this morning and said, I've got something I want to share this morning. Possibly because she heard the 8 o'clock sermon, which was remarkably similar. So I've no idea what Amy's got to share, but something from her front line, while she just shares, if you've got something, feel free to wander up or let us know. Otherwise, you've got to listen to me for longer. Now, that's encouragement.
So I was quite challenged when I found out we were doing this frontline series. Where's my frontline? I'm not like... So Ian is just a superhuman, and he's a vicar, but he also has a full-time job working for BT. I'm just a full-time vicar. I spend 95% of my time around church, doing church things. Where's my frontline? You might know that Matt and I moved to Ipswich about 3.5 months ago. We don't have any family here. We didn't know anyone here. Zero connections to Ipswich. So we came to Ipswich, this brand new town. All our friends we left behind. Matt used to play football while I was in a choir. All of that kind of stuff that I probably would have regarded as, that's my front line. Suddenly, we don't have yet. But I have started, you're going to laugh at this one, I've started a spin class. If you don't know what a spin class is, you kind of strap yourself onto this exercise bike and pedal very fast for about an hour. Honestly, the first time I did it, I couldn't walk for about a week. Don't try it. So that's basically the only thing I do at the moment that's not church. So I started this spin class before Christmas, around the time when we were asking people to pray for 5 people to invite to Alpha. And I think this is my second week, and I was on this bike, and I was almost dead. It was awful. I was pink, sweaty, just, it was the worst. And I was kind of, God, why am I doing this? This is awful. And God said to me, count them. And I was like, okay. Counted the people. There were 5 people in my spin class plus me. Okay, they're the 5 people I've got to pray for then, aren't they? I don't know their names. We just exercise together. So on my little prayer card, it's lady who is really, really, really good. Lady who is late. Lady with a nice pink top. It goes on. And then there's one particular lady who I have a little chat with on the way back to the cars. We kind of leave at the same time. And she said to me, oh, so what do you do? Oh, I love that question. I'm a vicar, gets all sorts of responses. She said, oh, that's interesting. Is that why you moved here then? And kind of carried on the conversation, moved on. And then just before Christmas, out of the blue, we were walking back to the car, she said to me, does your church do a midnight service on Christmas Eve? I said, yes, yes it does. She said, me and my partner have been thinking about going to one for years and we just haven't known where to go. But I might come to yours. And I thought, oh, that's great, excellent, excellent. Didn't think anything more of it. Didn't think she'd come, to be honest. She turns up on midnight, the midnight communion, turns up at the midnight service. Really, really good to see her. And then the first week back at the spin class after Christmas, she said, oh, do you know what? I nearly missed that midnight service, but my partner woke me up and said, quick, we've got to go, we've got to go. We're going to be late. We need to be there. It's going to be really good. It's nothing, absolutely nothing that I've done. Honestly, sometimes I'm a useless evangelist and I get really scared talking to people. I like to hide behind the fact that I'm a vicar because it makes it slightly easier. It's like I have an excuse to talk about Jesus. But this was absolutely nothing that I had done. God is doing something in this lady. I'm going to carry on going to my spin class and carry on building these relationships and just praying for the people that I am exercising with, because I don't know what else I can do when I'm nearly dying on a bike.
That is just so brilliant. I shared one from BT earlier. One of the guys, I work with quite a lot of Hindus, and one of the guys I work with is a Sikh, and he came up to me a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, I really don't know an awful lot about Christianity. If I got a few people together, would you, how long would it take you to go through what Christianity is and what it means to be a Christian? You book me a room, I'll talk for as long as you've got, mate. as Amy said, sometimes these things just appear out of nowhere. It's amazing. Has anyone else got anything they want to share? Yeah. Do you want me to come to you or do you want to come here? You come here. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Belinda, and this is totally unexpected, but it's quite funny that we've been learning about making a difference in the world, because I have a little fish at home, and the fish is really old, and it's going to pass out soon. So when I'm sitting on the couch at home, the bowl is sort of to the side of me, and often when I like glance there, she's like looking at me with her sort of googly fish eyes. So I've kind of got sort of indirectly really attached to her. Anyway, what I've done is I've put a little light by her to kind of cheer her up. And yesterday, last night, as I was glancing, she was sort of swimming towards the light, and the light was sort of shining through her. And I was actually thinking to myself at that moment that that's actually, as Christians, how we're supposed to be, like that little... It was sort of so special because it was just like shining like so brightly through her, like, and it just sort of gave me that image of us as Christians and the light shining through us in this world. So
fantastic.
It was really connected.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Shining as red dots. Go away and remember, shine as red dots. It's a moment if you case anybody else. I'm not going to prolong it. I hope that you will, as a whole body, want to encourage each other in this kind of way. And I guess, challenge you to go away this week. And next week, when you come, think, yeah, is there something that God's done? Is there something that I can share? What testimony can I give? Because our God's amazing. And he does so many things for us. And sometimes sharing them makes such a difference to somebody else sat in the room.